very overcome this morning. I know the presence of God was so tangible and it's so exquisite. And there's just really nothing more beautiful than being in the presence of God. I just want to really pray for a moment, Lord. Lord, it's the greatest privilege to stand here, Lord, and know that your word is in me. Lord, I humble my heart completely before you. I pray that your word will go forth, it will be planted, and it will grow. I speak over it in the name of Jesus with all authority. Be glorified this morning, Lord, in this place. Be high and lifted up. You are glorious. There is none like you, Lord. And we long to worship you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to have to bear with me this morning. I really am very overcome. It's been a while since I've preached. I don't even know how to start this. I have been given the go-ahead to share some very exciting news. A lot of you already know, and before the grapevine of France takes us all, I've been getting SMSs from people from far and wide that have heard the good news. Yanni and I, as you know, have been married for 9 years, and have been trying to bear children for about 7.5 of them. We lost a child 3 years ago and are very, very thankful and excited to tell you that we are pregnant. I cannot give enough glory to our Father in heaven. It's a miracle. I'm 42 years old this year. And it seemed like quite a wait and a long road. But I can't explain how, even though in this moment it seemed like it was the most important thing in my life, like it was the one thing my heart desired more than anything else, that as I spent time with the Lord this week, He gave me to know and realize that the thing I long for even more is Him. More than anything in this whole world, I long for more of Him. And you know, this week as I sat and sought Him, I don't know what your journals look like, but mine are quite moany. I tend to moan quite a bit. A lot of my journals going past 6 years were aching, moaning, Lord, where's my portion? Lord, don't forget me. Lord, your promises. But this week, as I sat and sought Him, it was, Lord, I long for more of you. But with an ache in my heart, I was like, Lord, don't leave me in this place. Don't leave me here in this place. Why am I still in this place? And you know, God is faithful, guys. I cannot tell you enough how God is faithful, the living God, the creator of all things, is a living God who hears our prayer. And He is so faithful. I'm always amazed when I go back to my journal. There'll be the prayer and then the answer. And then the prayer and then the answer. It's like clockwork. Go back and look. Go back. Go back. Because this is what He showed me this week. I said, Lord, why am I still stuck in this place? I shouldn't be here. And He led me to the word. And the word, it was about a parable. It's not what I'm going to preach on tonight, this morning, but I just want to tell you about it because I think it's important. It was a parable of building your house on the rock. It's a story I've heard so many times in my life. heard it at Sunday school. I've taught it at Sunday school. I've heard it so many times, but the one thing that he showed me was if you don't obey the word, it's like building your house on the sand. It's hearing the word and carrying on like it didn't happen. And that's what he showed me this week. He said to me, Kat, stop getting my promises, stop hearing my word, stop hearing my voice and carrying on regardless, because that's why you're still there. But like I said, that's another day. We'll talk about it. I just want to tell you that this morning because I really feel like what he has put on my heart to share with you today, don't just hear it. Write it on your heart. Revise the scripture. Hear the exhortation. It's a short exhortation. I'm here to challenge you this morning, challenge us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us and to do it. It's a simple word. The word is simple usually. It's probably not going to be a huge revelation for anybody. I hope it is. I really have prayed over it and I have prayed that it is a revelation to you. Okay. It's a word about the heart. And it's actually entitled Issues of the Heart. You see, we have, each of us, something deep in our hearts. Do you agree? Are you guys here with me this morning, eh? Okay, awesome. Okay. So the heart is hugely misunderstood. I found some amazing, interesting facts. You know, I love to do research, and it was quite interesting to go back even in history and read what some very great people had written about the heart. And the Greeks believed that the heart was the seat of the spirit. The Chinese believed that the heart was the center of happiness. And the Egyptians believed that the heart, that all the intellect and all the emotions flowed from the heart. And in this day and age, I think the heart is downplayed in a big way. It's this frilly, pretty ornament. It's thought to be the flow of emotions, a love tank, if you will, something that we need filled up to be happy. But that's not what the Word of God says about the heart. Do you know that the word heart or hearts is mentioned 963 times in the Bible? Which I think would let us believe that God thinks the heart is very important and he wants us to take note. Do you not agree? And there's one area, I encourage you, go and read. Jesus talks about the heart constantly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you read it. It's right through the Bible. But it's not about the love songs. Okay, let's go to one of the areas. Okay, wait, sorry, I'm gone so far ahead of myself. Today's key verse is from Proverbs 4:23, and I'm going to repeat it so many times that it's going to be like Sunday school. Hopefully by the time you leave, it's probably a scripture you know well. It's a scripture well loved, but I don't think very well understood. Okay, but I'm going to read from 20 to 27. I just want to build some foundation, okay? But the key scripture is Proverbs 4:23. So it says, my son, give attention to my words. So Solomon speaking, do you agree? A very wise man. Okay, a man worth listening to. Do you not agree? So listen to what he says. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear. Give me your ear. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, do you not agree that we all seek health for our flesh, for all our bodies? Do you agree? I think it's what we all run around these days. I think we spend so much time focusing on our health, a lot more than is healthy, I think. But this is what Solomon says. If you want health for all your bodies, listen to what I'm having to say here. And he spends a lot of time saying, listen carefully. Okay, he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. So the words here that he uses, issues, or as the English would say, issues. I love the way they say that. Okay, the word means boundaries or sources. The boundaries, like the boundaries that you set, or the source, like the source of a well. Okay, the central focus. What he's saying here is the heart is the very source of life. Okay, if I can give an example. If you have a car, okay, what would you say is the most important part of your car? A car. There's a car. Sorry? Engine. Could be the engine. What? The wheels. The what? Fuel. Key. All these very important, yes? The battery. No, he says his car didn't start this morning. That would be a problem. Okay. Steering wheel, we could go on and list these things. But I want to challenge you with this. The driver is the most important part of the car. If you hadn't tried to even get in the car and start the car, you wouldn't have even known it was flat. It would have sat there for years. Okay. So the driver is the most important part of a car, right? And that's what the heart is in our lives. It's the driver of our lives. The heart determines where we're going. That's what he's saying here. It is the source of life. Okay, so if the driver determines the direction the car's going to go in. It determines if it's going to go safely to that place. Okay, so that's what he's saying in this. Saying whatever your heart wants, it gets the rest of your body to do. It actually employs, you think that your intellect gets you to do the things you want to do. Your heart drives your intellect. Your heart gets your body and your intellect to get you what you want. If I can give it, Yanni was actually talking about this last night. He was talking about running a marathon. And how it would take incredible passion to actually get up and start this course towards preparing yourself for a marathon. It's very much like that. It's you would need to desire it more than anything. I don't. I sometimes put it on my to-do list, but I don't wish it really. I'm honest. Okay. But to want to do it is what gets your mind in action. It would get your body in action. And it gets you moving in that direction. So I just want to encourage you with that. That's what he's saying about the source of life. That's what the heart is. Do you know what the highest cause of death is in the world? Heart disease, heart attacks. That's why everything is about cholesterol, everything is about health of the heart, and everything is about, but the Bible is telling us the same thing, guys. Spiritually, it is the biggest death to us, the heart. What our heart is set on, what we feed our heart physically, what we're going to put into our bodies is going to kill us or not, okay, or give us prolonged longevity. What we put into us spiritually, that's what he's saying, guys. I need you to just get before I move on. You need to understand the source of your life spiritually. Is your heart. God always begins with a heart. He starts with our heart and then it starts to work outwards. He says, keep, or in some translations, I don't know if you in your Bibles, you see guard your hearts. Does some of your Bibles say guard your hearts? Okay. So he says, keep or guard your hearts with all diligence. So this is a personal responsibility to protect your life. You are to protect your heart, which is your life source. I don't know if some of you have heard of, I've already forgotten his name, Steve Irwin. I just came across this again while I was reading a million things. And it was just a very interesting story. Have you guys heard of Steve Irwin? He was an incredible wildlife expert, and he did quite a lot of movies. He went to the most various dangerous places. And in 2006, he was killed. And I think it came as a shock to everybody, because this man he was actually called the Crocodile Hunter. It was one of his nicknames. And he used to like go into the most crazy situations and pick up the most poisonous snakes and crocodiles, and you can't imagine what he used to do. But he was so like good at it. Like he used to keep eye contact with this, like whatever the animal snake thing was. And he used to say he knew how to keep very still. He knew all the things, like, you know. And you would think that at some point something was going to get him, right? But the crazy thing is that he went diving one day and a stingray killed him. Do you guys know what stingrays are? Stingrays are so peaceable. They are just so, I mean, I don't know if any of you have ever dived. It's an incredible experience. But stingrays are amazing. They're like butterflies. Like, or they're just incredible. They just go over your head and they just leave you alone. They don't come near you. And it is virtually impossible for a stingray to kill you. The stingray's spine has to go pierce the heart for it to kill you. So, I mean, sadly to say, we weren't so shocked that he died as we were shocked at how he died. See, the man was so good at protecting his hands. He knew how to keep still. He knew how to do all these things. But there he was, floating around with a stingray, and it pierced his heart. I just found it a really incredible story because it shows you how vulnerable our heart is, okay? So it says, vigilantly protect your heart. If we don't protect our heart, it's like that driver that we were talking about, the driver of the wheel. Imagine he falls asleep at the wheel. What happens? Or if we're careless with our heart, what we put into our hearts and all that, it's like driving drunk. So I think we just need to understand what God is saying to us. So whatever you allow into your heart flows out into your life and dictates everything you do. And as I said before, Jesus spoke about it in so many different places in the Bible. And in Luke 6, 43-45, I don't know if you want to follow with me in your Bible. I've just put up 45. But if you want to follow from 43, Jesus says, a good tree produces good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. If you're going to read from 43, he says, you're not going to get figs from a thorn bush, and you're not going to get grapes on a bramble bush. Okay, and read what he says from 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So from a good tree, good things flow. Bad tree, bad things flow. It's like taking a tree, and I think Susan will vouch for me and Han, and it's like taking a really bad tree, and you can try and bring this tree to health. You can prune it. You can spray it. You can just do everything you can. Give it compost. But this tree is not going to give you good fruit. Am I right? Okay. I'm asking the specialists because we've got some pros here, you know. Can't just take chances with them. So, and that's what he's saying. That's what the scripture is saying. It says you need a foundational core change. That's what Christianity, guys, this is the message of Christianity. This is in the most simplest form. Hear what he's saying, okay? As Christians, okay, we come to God and we rotten trees. Okay? We come to him with all our bad fruit, bad attitudes, bad heart. There's nothing good we can produce in our own selves. But you know what Jesus does? He comes in, if we give him our hearts, and he burns this tree to the ground. And he takes out what he chooses, and he grafts it into himself. Okay?
Are you with me?
He takes what we give him in all our brokenness. Think back to the day you got saved. I know for me, I came to God very broken. I came to him with nothing. Even when I worshiped this morning, I was thinking, Lord, honestly, I bring you nothing. I bring you nothing. And you give me everything. And that's the message of Christianity. We bring him nothing. We bring him this tree, this dead tree that does not produce. And he takes it and he grafts it into himself. And the Bible says he is the oak of righteousness. He is the tree that is forever planted. He is the one that produces eternally. And that's what he gives to us, because now we are grafted in him. This is the most important message. You are a new tree. You are the tree of Jesus Christ. Guys, get this. This is whatever he is, you bear all that he is. Whatever he is, we bear all that he is. Isn't that incredible? Does that not excite you? Amen. So that's the message of Christianity. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, it says, I'm just really summarizing, okay? So in like three lines, all of that. He says that we have been reconciled with God, that the old has passed away. And he says that because you're a new creation, you have a new heart. And you're going to want to seek godliness and holiness. And there's a quote here I got from John Flavel. He says, the greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God. And the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. Amen. It's not, you know, Christianity is not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a moral code that we get given. It's a new life in Christ. Amen. Okay, so that's my first point. Like Yanni, I'm learning to do three-point sermons. So the point one is a reconstruction of the heart. That's what we need. We need a reconstruction of the heart. Point two is a regulation of the heart. The heart needs to have complete reconstruction. It needs to be broken and put back together. Okay, but then it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Can we repeat that? Okay, first time. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. If we can just keep that scripture, yeah, let's just keep it there. Because we're just going to take instruction from this verse. Okay, I hope that this is challenging you. Okay? I hope it's starting to stir in you questions. See, this is what the Word of God is. When you come to church on a Sunday, it's not to just be force-fed and then off you go as fat babies, right? This is seed. This is just salt. It's to get you going and thinking and searching God. Okay? This is an instruction from the Lord, your God. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, so God has graciously given us a new heart, but now it's our responsibility to keep this heart. You see, he says here, it's a responsibility I'm giving you. And you know, who knows that God is gracious and he is a good God and he does not set us up for failure. So it's a responsibility that he's giving us that is possible. Okay, so the first part is he does the reconstructing of our hearts. We have a new heart. We are grafted into Jesus, but now we have a responsibility. Now the responsibility is keep your heart with all diligence. And then so the first question I'm hoping it's stirring in you is why? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to keep my heart with all diligence? Okay, and it goes back to what we said in the beginning. Solomon told us it's the source of life. Because it's the way your life's going to go. Are you interested in going in the right direction? Are you interested in seeing things change in your life? Christianity is a matter of the heart. If our hearts are not right before the Lord, if our hearts are filled with bitterness, unforgiveness, hardness, selfishness, then that's what's going to flow out of our lives. But if we bring our hearts to the Lord, allow Him to do that amazing work of breaking that hardness, giving us that new heart, and flowing in the Spirit, then we start to flow in the fruits. We start to flow in long-suffering and patience and kindness, gentleness, all the things that He's told us will be. And this is the most important work in our hearts. And that brings us to the second question I hope you're asking is how. I hope you're remotely interested to know how this should be. Okay? But the first, I'm not going to give you a 10-point step. Okay? I don't want to, this is your responsibility. Go and seek the Word of God. I do want to give you some practical points, though, so I'm just stirring up in you this challenge. Okay? The first and most important thing, I'm not going to, before we even get to the how, it's why? Again, because you want to please the living God. Because you have this now new relationship with this love of your life. You are grafted into Him. It's you and Him. It's like seeking to please only Him. You see, it can't be done like in a theoretical way. It can't be done because you think now, oh, how must I fix myself? It doesn't work like that. He gives you that new heart, and out of a loving relationship with you, start to flow. It's like me with Yanni. I keep my heart for Him. I keep my heart only for Him. That's where this must come from, okay? Keeping your heart only for God. But how? Just 4 points. It's to keep your heart full. Full of His love. Full of His word. Full. Keep your heart full. I'm not going to go into these things. Go and write it down. Go and find out how. Go to the word. Go to the source. Okay, keep your heart pure. I'll give you scriptures. The word says, this is the first point, keep your heart full. Let your heart be filled with love of Christ, and you will be filled with all the fullness of God. Point two, keep your heart pure. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. 3, keep your heart loyal. Give your heart to Christ alone. And keep your heart soft and tender. It's actually 5 points, if I recall. Yeah, it's 5. Let your gentleness be known unto all people. The Lord is at hand. How do you treat people around you? Keep your heart gentle. Again, it's all in a relationship with God, right? So it all comes back to that. And keep your heart generous. The word says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Christ gave completely. So those are just a few practical steps, all right? So it is our responsibility to regulate what goes into our heart. But then it's also our responsibility we also have a responsibility for the heart. The heart needs to be reconstructed and it needs to be regulated. And to conclude, I want to say something about the responsibility of the heart. We have a responsibility. We are promised in the word that God keeps our heart. If you go to Philippians 4:7, I have it there. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so God is saying He will guard our hearts, okay? But He's also given us a further responsibility in Proverbs. Look what it says, Proverbs 4, and we're going to go to 24. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Guys, I know that you know this. I know that you've read this. But we forget. We forget. And the Lord is putting it before us. And if you want to move from the place you're in, if you want to get unstuck, if your moan to the Lord is like, I want more of you. He's saying, obey what I'm telling you. Here's wisdom. It will make you whole. It will make you healed. Okay? He's given us everything. But he says you have a responsibility. And it's not in works. It's a responsibility. Don't walk out of here and forget what you heard today. You have a responsibility to write it on your hearts and to do what the Word of God says to do. We all do. But not in condemnation. Do you understand that? We come back to our original place. God did it in grace. We are grafted in Jesus Christ. You have Jesus inside of you. Everything that he is empowers you to do this. So what are you to do? He says, it's like I wanted to put that little picture of, you know, the monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's the same thing. He says, number one, the tongue. Ouch. Is watch what you confess. This is your responsibility. Hold each other accountable. Speak into each other's lives. Open up your heart to a brother or a sister and say, hold me accountable for what I say. Correct one another in love. That's what he says. He says the tongue, number one. Number two, the eye. I'm not judging you, man. I'm standing right before you saying, hold me accountable too. What we see, what websites we're looking at, what we read. He says, guard your eyes. What you're feeding into your heart. You know, since being pregnant, I can't tell you how much it consumes my heart and my mind. It's like ridiculous. Like Yanni and I will be having the most serious conversation out of the blue. I'll pop up with an interesting fact about pregnancy. Like the poor guy. I mean, I think he's like his eyes just glaze. And that's what my heart is so full of these days because that's all I want to read. That's all I'm reading about. Like more, like tell me more, you know? And it can actually freak you out completely. Like you can actually read the most crazy things. And he's like, whoa. But it's what is in my heart right now. I'm totally honest with you, but you see, like I said to you before, what I've realized is I want God more. That's what I'm being challenged with right now. How much am I reading about babies, and how much am I reading about salvation? How much of my heart is excited about having a child to seeing a child born in Christ? Do you understand? That's the difference. If your heart is for God, what you feed yourself, you will be guarded. You will protect what you put into yourself, reading and what's speaking. And then he says your step, point three. He says, watch where you walk. Watch who you walk with. These are wise words from Solomon. What are your hobbies? Where's your money going? Do you want to know what the condition of your heart is? Check these things. Guys, trust me, it's a brilliant exercise for all of us. This is a good exercise. Check your heart. Ask God to show you the condition of your heart. So he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. He says, keep your heart in prayer. These are the steps, resisting temptation, hearing and reading the Word of God, exercising your faith and communion with Christ. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this morning, if the ushers can prepare the elements for communion, we're going to take communion. While they do that, I want to take you to another scripture, which I don't think is anybody's favorite scripture in the world. It says Jeremiah 17:9. Has anyone read that before you put it up? Don't put it up. Did I put it down? Didn't I? Okay. Does anyone know what Jeremiah 17:9 says? Okay, someone, yes? Huh? Yeah, someone knows it. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? That's what the word says. Our hearts are deceitful above all things. So if whether you like the scripture or not, I want to challenge you this morning. You might be sitting here saying, well, I'm so sorted. I do my 5 steps every morning. I pay my tithes. I do my religious acts. Guys, I want to stir you in your deepest of hearts. If your heart condition is not right before the Lord, all our works are as dirty rags. It's the heart condition. And as we take communion this morning, I want to excite you. You know, the Bible says there's no weakness in, it's not hypocrisy to admit you've got weakness. There's nothing, you know, the greatest thing is to admit you've got weakness and to God and allow him to come in and do the healing. So as we take these elements of communion this morning, I'd like you to spend 5 minutes. I know it sounds like very little, but it's not. It's actually really a long time. I want us to spend 5 minutes in silence. Okay? And I want you to spend that time with the Lord. I know this is like communal worship and we as a body, but take time. And if you're really struggling to do it here in this corporate place, I encourage you to take this home with you and do it. In our society, the hardest thing to do is be quiet. We have such noisy lives. And like I said, I don't know how easy it's going to be to do it here together corporately, but I'd like to try. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to each of us our hearts. Think on things. Think on how you spend your money, your time, how you treat people. And I'm not, like I said, this is not an us thing, okay? This is for all of us. It's for every one of us to walk in humility before the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. Show me the condition of my heart and come in. And when we break the bread, we're going to break it. You know, the Bible says that as you take the bread, some denominations get this, I think, a bit wrong, but it's not the bread, it's not the body of Christ when it's bread, okay? But as it enters into your mouth, it becomes the body of Jesus Christ, okay? And in it you receive healing, in it you receive power, in it you receive authority. And take authority over the condition of your heart. Take authority. Give the Lord access to every place. And if you need a new heart, ask him for that heart today. Guys, you know what? There's nothing. Fred was telling us that there's this one guy who sends him an email every now and again, and it's like, hey, I just got saved again. And he's like, he's very amped every time. Every now and again, he gets a new revelation of the cross, and he gets saved all over again. Understand that. I promise you, it's almost like that with me. Almost, I feel like I'm getting saved every day again. If you need to get saved again today, in other words, if you need to give your heart again to Jesus Christ today, don't leave here with your heart. Give him your heart and take that grafting into yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray for us quickly. Lord, we just bring you our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, I know that you are here. I know that you are the minister in this place today. Lord, I know that you are light in every dark place. Thank you that you open up our hearts right now in understanding that we can see what you show us this morning. In Jesus' name. Seemed like quite a hard exercise for a lot of you, and like I said, I encourage you to make this a beginning of something you search out for yourself. Thank you, Lord, that as we take this bread, Lord, Lord, as we eat of this new life, Lord, we become grafted into you. Lord, this is a reminder of our joining with you, Lord, of your body in us, us in you. We thank you that we take all authority, Lord God, over the condition of our hearts. We thank you that you give us the will and the ability to take full responsibility, to keep our hearts, to guard our hearts with all vigilance. In Jesus' name, as we eat this as a body, Lord, we thank you for the authority and the victory that you've given us in your death and resurrection. Thank you that we are new creations today. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, as we take of this covenant blood, we thank you that it testifies of what you did. It testifies of the new heart that you gave us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that today as we drink this, Lord, you're reminded of a covenant made for all eternity, which we can keep bringing you our hearts, Lord, on a daily basis. We just bring you everything we are today, Lord. We lay it down on the altar. Thank you for your blood, Lord, that covers us, cleanses, and makes us righteous in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.